You are listening to A True Church Perspective from the Macedonia Baptist Church family. We pray that this message is a true blessing to you.
You love the Lord, say amen. If you're not ashamed of the gospel, say amen. Is the Lord good or what? God is worthy. He is worth. God deserves fresh praise. God deserves new praise. It's not enough to be thankful for yesterday and all that God has done. We ought to have fresh praise with every new heartbeat. Because God is so good to each and every one of us. Certainly to my friend and my colleague, I am just grateful for the many relationships that God has allowed me to have in ministry. And I want to thank Pastor May for just being here serving his pastor today in this capacity. I want to thank all of my colleagues in ministry being here today. And I want to say to this very special man of God, yes, Lord, to my friend, my colleague, a mentor, Pastor Twyman, Sister Lorraine Twyman, my wife and I are here to say you should be celebrated in a special way. It should not go unnoticed. It is not some pseudo sign of humility for this type of work to go unnoticed. It should be heralded. It should be noticed. It should be appreciated. Because it is amazing. Macedonia, it's good to be here. I have had a dichotomy of emotions. I was so excited when I was asked to come and to share. Man, I was geeked. And that was weeks ago. I was so excited. And then the closer it got to this day, trepidation set in. Because now I felt, wow, when I tried to put in perspective what was transpiring here and what we were celebrating, trepidation set in because now I wondered if I would do you more of an injustice by not being able or capable of defining a ministry such as this. So, my friend, I'm not sure. If I'll be a blessing or not. Because this is difficult to do. But I want to share from Galatians 6:9. A very simple and poignant statement made to those who labor for the Lord. And Galatians 6:9 says, don't grow weary. Don't get tired. Don't stop doing what's right. Because in due season, King James says, in other translations, it says, at the precise and correct time, God will get the glory in our victory. Don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you don't faint, if you don't quit, if you don't give up, if you don't give in, if you don't fall short. And from that thought, I want to share a simple subject matter that really derives from other scripture and passages, but the thought is what's important. And my subject matter is simply for a very long time. For a very long time. For a very long time. Trying to put 40 years of pastoral leadership in the right perspective is simply beyond my capabilities. 40 years of pastoral leadership. 40 years of leading others. And we do have to understand that the only reason for leadership is a lack of comprehensive direction. The only reason folk need to be led is that they can't lead themselves. So the idea of even being a leader connotes the fact that you're going to have opposition. It's incomprehensible, it's mind-boggling. To attempt to corral its full meaning needs to be left to somebody smarter than me. 40 years of pastoral leadership is some folks' lifetime. 40 years. And even though I don't feel that I'm capable of putting it in the right perspective, it's this number, 40, that we find intriguing and worthy of being scrutinized for the purpose of honoring this man and his ministry, which includes his lovely wife and his family. Because all that he is because somebody else who loved God and him was willing to sacrifice. So this number 40 usually has to do with testing in the Bible. There are dozens of examples to show this, from Jesus to the children of Israel in the wilderness. The number 40 shows that testing and trials often are associated with this number. So we read in scriptures that the number 40 generally symbolizes a specific period of testing, trial, then victory. So it's not just 40. It connotes a certain type of journey. It's amazing. People see pastors and you get to see most of the time the best of us. But God has to deal through us and with us with our shortcomings too. And yet, in 40 years, there's been some testing, some trials, and some trying. Moses, Elijah, and Jesus fasted in the desert for 40 days each. 40. That number, 40. The Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 years between Egypt and Canaan. Not because God didn't love them, not because God didn't care, not because God wasn't going to keep his promise. But it's amazing how when God is going to take you somewhere specific, he has to prepare you in a special way. And they couldn't go into Canaan, where they would have to develop ownership, until they broke the bondage of being slaves in Egypt. So he said, before you can go into Canaan, you've got to break that mindset. You can't go into a land where you will own your property when you've got a renter's mentality. That's why along this journey, along this 40 years, it's not just it was 40 years in time and space. It was 40 years in developing this wonderful, wise, gifted man of God. That he could be what he is to you today. Because not all of you have known him 40 years. You've only benefited in the last 10. But it had everything to do with the knowledge of his 40. I've had people say, well, I haven't been there for all of the pastor's anniversary. Why should I be as excited as others? Because you've benefited from the 40-year development. And what he had to endure in 40 years blessed you in 10. 40, 40, that number. Three kings reigned for 40 years, Saul, David, and Solomon. Here's that number again. Goliath taunted Israel for 40 days. And each day that an Israeli conqueror would try to defeat him, he destroyed him until David killed him. Jesus fasted in the wilderness 40 days. Spies were sent for 40 days to spy out the land of Canaan. 40. And what was so intriguing about it in my research, 40 is the only word form of a number where all the letters are in alphabetical order. I had to look at that. That was so cute. That was so intriguing to me. I looked at that for 15 minutes. 40 is a special number. But I'm not here to deal with the length of time. 40 years is a long time. But that's not where my focus is. It's not about all that you've done in the 40 years. I haven't known you all 40, but I know what you've been to me in 30. I didn't know the days when you used to warm the church and build the fires. But I benefited from the result of your faithfulness. I did not know you when you were on your Harley, but your trips to L.A., where you could clearly distinguish the difference that God had made in your life, I benefited from. So it's 40, but it's not about the number. It's about a Jewish idiom. It's the Jewish idiom that I would like to draw your attention to. It's a Jewish idiom that's called 40 days and 40 nights. And if you've studied the word in ways that many of these preachers and I know pastor has, it's very difficult to define the people of Israel. It's difficult to define God's people without understanding their history. Jews have a history of figures of speech and idioms that are enormous in the Bible that paints pictures that you don't want to miss because you can lose the meaning of Scripture. They had idioms, and it would be called 40 days and 40 nights. And in their mind, if they couldn't remember a specific number or how long something had transpired, they simply say, it's been 40 days. And 40 nights. It didn't mean that it literally had to be 40 days. Because it wasn't describing the time. It was describing the journey. It wasn't describing specifically how long. But what kind of experience with God it was. So when they would say 40 days and 40 nights, they were simply saying a very long time. With a lot of trouble. A lot of trial. And then a lot of triumph. So this Jewish figure of speech merely meant a very long time that had to be dealt with, a very long time of development, a very long time of walking by faith, a very long time of being patient, a very long time of trusting God. I don't care what anybody says, this walk of faith, trusting God ain't always easy. And if it's been easy for you, help me. Because it's been a challenge. I tell people all the time, I've had 247,360 arguments with God. And the score is 247,360 to nothing. I've lost every one of them. But I argued along the way. There was some arguing along the way because there were some times I didn't understand. There were some times that I could not feel God's presence. There were some times that I had to walk by faith and not by sight. And I didn't understand why. As long as I was faithful, there was times that I had to overcome when I thought I should have been blessed. There were times that God had to show me that a mountain was just a valley turned upside down. Don't let it break you. You got to trust me along the way. But Lord, if I'm faithful, isn't that enough? He said, faith alone won't make others love me. They've got to watch you endure and overcome. Wow. So this walk of faith, this leadership, this pastoral thing that so many young preachers are grappling after, who just can't wait till they get the opportunity for somebody to call them pastor. But there's one thing I want you to understand. When you become a pastor, that's not the only name you call. When you become a pastor, you will not just be called. There will be other names you're called. There will be other names that you're addressed by. I can't imagine in 40 years. I've been pastoring almost 34. I can't fathom 40. I ain't even trying to fathom 40. To walk by faith and not by sight and also be responsible for how others respond to God. Imagine trying to live your own life, trying to do right by God yourself, and you're responsible by how other people respond to God. As a pastor, he has to teach you so that your response is correct. He has to teach you so that you understand God and know God for yourself. In case you can't find somebody to pray for you, you need to know how to pray yourself. That's why the pastor has to go through so much, because he's responsible for so many. 40 years? Wow, it's beyond my realm of understanding. So 40 years of pastoral leadership. There's no appointing that carries the price tag that's sewn into the fabric of pastoral leadership. There is no other appointing. And it's an appointing. Make no mistake about it. Preaching is a calling. Pastoral is an appointing. 40 years of putting your needs behind the needs of others. 40 years of walking by faith and not by sight. Wow. 40 years of grasping and grappling for visions that were not always clear. 40 years of knowing you don't have the answer to somebody's question and you hope they don't ask until you know. 40 years of wondering if the decision that you just made will make or break your people. 40 years of making sure that you were there for others who had no desire to be there for you. 40 years of being scrutinized and criticized. 40 years of always being required to understand while surviving without understanding. It's an amazing thing to lead people to where they need to be, though they don't want to go. And that's the only reason that you need leadership. If everybody knew what to do, you wouldn't need a Twyman. If everybody knew how to do it, you wouldn't need a Twyman. If everybody knew when to go, you wouldn't need this kind of commitment. 40 years of making somebody happy while simultaneously making somebody else mad. If you paint a room green, somebody wanted blue. If you drive an SUV, somebody wants you in a compact. If you get a Cadillac, you should have got a Pinto. If you get a Pinto, you embarrass in the church. If you wear a black suit, you always look drab. If you wear a pink one, that's too loud. If you preach too long, you're getting on my nerves. And if you don't preach long enough, how do I learn anything? 40 years. 40 years of pastoral leadership. 40 years of trusting God when you couldn't even trust yourself. 40 years of walking by a faith that you sometimes question. Man, this pastoral thing needs to be understood. It needs to be appreciated. This man has pastored longer than some folk live. He's pastored longer than some folk live. Now put it in perspective. If your family of five, that's a husband, wife, and three kids, can get on your nerves to the point where you spend bill money. You know it's for the light bill, but you don't care. They done got on your last nerve, and you take all $80 to the mall and spend it all on yourself. And it's only over five people, and you one of them. If you could lose your mind over a family of five, imagine a pastor governing 50 families, 100 families. Imagine him trying to lead 400 or 500 people who want to go in different directions. And he's got a family that's sacrificing along the way. A wife that's got to say bye to him when she wants him by her side. It ain't a woman in no church nowhere who will let another woman be in your husband's face like the pastor's wife has to allow you to be in his. It ain't another one. It ain't nowhere in the world you're going to let that many women talk to your husband. You ain't going to let that many women have your husband's phone number. You ain't going to let that many women in a room with your husband. But the pastor, and she got to deal with it because she loved God and she loved him. And it's not that she has all of this trust for him. I'm so glad that my wife love and trust God so she realized she can trust me. Because she can't trust me based on my word alone. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit. So there are some times she got to let me be alone with somebody that won't even speak to her. She's got to acquiesce to somebody who doesn't even want to respect her because of my position. 40 years. Oh, I salute your wife. I salute Sister Lorraine because I know what she's going through. I salute her. She may not be here today, but that doesn't mitigate anything. She's been there all of this time. She didn't need to be here today. She already made her statement in your life and your ministry, and we salute her. 40 years. 40 years, that's a very long time. I don't care what anybody says, 40 years, that's a long time. Imagine the dilemma of trying to serve a perfect God with all of my imperfections. The truth of the matter is, if everybody knew everything about everybody, nobody would like anybody. There's some secrets I'm taking to the grave. There's some secrets that God done forgave me for. I ain't sharing them. I done shared enough of them. I tell people my life. I tell them the dirty things I did. But there's a few things I'm taking to my grave. I ain't telling nobody. My mama didn't know, and you ain't gonna know either. God done already forgave me. I'm not gonna share it because you're not gonna forgive me. I'm just an imperfect vessel trying to serve a perfect God. I'm telling you, Paul said it this way. How did you put something so marvelous in an earthen vessel such as I? How did you put the power of the Holy Spirit in a mess like me? How do you make yourself work in a mess like me? How do you make a difference in a mess like me? 40 years. for the years. You're an amazing dude. You're an amazing dude. And it's not disrespect. That's how we talk to each other. We talk to each other this way in the study. You're an amazing dude. You're an amazing guy. You're an amazing pastor. You're an amazing Christian. You're an amazing individual. 40 years of questioning our capabilities in trying times. We're pastoring now in one of the tough times in history, trying to pastor while we fight off invisible foes, trying to walk by faith, but don't be careless, trying to walk by faith, but not being stupid. It's a tough time to be a pastor. Imagine 40 years of keeping secrets. 40 years of keeping others' reputation intact while they tear yours down. 40 years of counseling, but I kept your secrets. 40 years, and don't nobody know you still smoke weed. 40 years, and don't nobody know you got drunk last night. 40 years, and don't nobody know the low-life things you've done, because I've kept your secrets, and you told mine. 40 years, you're amazing. I'm almost through. I salute you, Twain. I salute you on so many fronts. But most of all, I want y'all to recognize how awesome this is. How awesome this is. If somebody asks me, how long have you known Twain? How long Twain have been pastoring? I can tell them not 40. 40 years, but down the road, if it get 42, 43, 44, and as I get older and my memory might not be as great, I'm glad that I can go to that Jewish idiom and I don't have to remember a certain number. If somebody asks me how long Twyman been pastoring, I'm just going to tell them 40 days and 40 nights, a very long time. It's the Jewish idiom that simply means a very long time. A very long time of trial, trouble, and triumph. Pastor Twyman, I need you to know this. I need you to know this. Because you lived, I'm glad you came my way. I'm glad I met you. I owe you. This child here, this young boy, was adamant about you got to meet my pastor. And he was just adamant. Jake, you got to meet my pastor. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, whenever. That's cool, and I'm sure you're a good guy. No, you got to meet my pastor. You got to meet Charles Twyman. You got to meet him. You got to meet him for yourself. You got to know him for yourself. He's a straight-up guy. He loves God. He's a no-nonsense kind of pastor. And I love to see y'all get together. And I finally met him, and everything that Claude said, everything that he said about you, every truth that he told about you was underestimated. Let me tell you right now, as great as he said you were greater than that. As close to the truth as he said you were better than that. So I'm glad you lived. So if somebody asks me, how do you define Twyman's ministry? I say, I'm going to use the Jewish idiom, 40 days and 40 nights. A very long time. He served for a very long time. How long has he been excellent? For a very long time. How long has he been a great preacher? For a very long time. How long has he been a great teacher? For a very long time. How long has he been a mentor? For a very long time. There are a lot of trials, trouble, and triumphs. So I want to say this to you, that because you lived, I'm a better preacher, because you set a standard for truth. Because you lived, Twyman, I'm a better individual, because you taught us not to let others define who you are. Because you lived, I'm a better exegete of scripture, because you set a standard for detail. because you lived. Ministers in this city are leaders in their own right. Because you lived, our valleys of the shadows of death are now shrouded with the light of your determination. Because you live, visions are no longer fairy tales of hope, but realities of preparation. You're one of the most prepared men and ministers and preachers that I've ever encountered in my 34 years. And I want to say to you, because you lived, I am an instrument for God. Because you lived, I am better than I ever was. Because you live. I'm almost through. Because you live, we've learned that it's not about reputation, but it's about repetition. You've always done the same thing over and over and over and over again. You've always preached the Bible. You've always preached Jesus. You've always preached salvation. It was never about your reputation. It's been about your repetition. Because you lived, crooked roads are straighter, and mountains are just swollen speed bumps. Because you lived, I'm not going to let a mountainous situation get me down, because I've seen you overcome every obstacle on your way to a great ministry, on your way to changing neighborhoods, on your way to changing families, on your way to changing lives. I've watched you overcome every obstacle because you lived. We've learned that nothing is beyond the grasp of fervent prayer. I love you, man. I love you, man. I love you, man. I love you, man, because you are a blessing. You are a miracle. You are a miracle. Let me tell you something. The floating axe head is no more of a miracle than your ministry. The burning bush is no more of a miracle than your ministry. The talking mule is no more a miracle than your ministry, because all of them are the manifestation of God's grace in the natural realm. You are amazing. You are amazing. And I'm better. I'm better now. Now, don't get me wrong. I want you to get this straight. I love you. I love you, man. I love you. You are an absolute blessing to me, to ministry. You're a difference maker. You are the kind of man that God needs in his kingdom. How you've done this for 40 years, I salute you. How you've done this for 40 years, I salute you. How you've done this for 40 years, I salute you. You are a mighty man that I love. But I want to tell you something. As much as I love you as a man, there's another man that I love more than you. As much as I love you as a man, there's another man that I love more than you. Another man I'd like to talk about. And like Paul, I never walked with him. Like Paul, I never sat in his office. Like Paul, I never drove in his car. But I want to tell you this, I never met him in the flesh, but he changed my life. The greatest impact that Charles Twyman has had on mankind is because he lived. But the impact this man had is because he died. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And he died for a wretch like me. What no other man like him? What no other man like him? Listen to me. No other man like him. There are a lot of men that I loved in the Word of God that I thought were awesome and fantastic. But there's no other man like Jesus. He was faster than Elijah, stronger than Samson. He was wiser than Solomon, more faithful than Abraham, shrewder than Jacob, meeker than Moses, more diligent than Jonah, more knowledgeable than Nicodemus, more committed than Job. But he was the one I needed to die on the cross for a wretch like me. Oh, he died. I tell people all the time, I'm so glad he died. He died on the cross. He died on a Friday afternoon. He died because I needed salvation. He died because I needed wholeness. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, he died. He died. There are some that says,
He was in a coma. No, he died. There's some that says, though he was comatose, he died. Roman soldiers knew how to make sure that you died on the cross. No, he died. He died for a wretch like me. And Twyman, as I've heard you say so many times before, they put him in somebody else's tomb. They put him in a place for the dead. But it's an amazing thing. He died. They buried him. But on the third Jewish day, on that third day, on the day that made the difference in my life, on the day that made me whole, he got up. He got up out of that grave with all authority. Now, this is what I want to share with you. All authority, not dunamis, not dunamis, not miraculous power. He said all power. The word is exousia. It wasn't about miraculous power. He had already shown miraculous power. He had already raised Lazarus from the dead. He had already turned water to wine. He had already cleared up the issue of blood. This wasn't about dunamis. This was about exousia. He said, I've got the authority to turn your life around. I've got the authority to make a new person out of you. I got the authority to give you a relationship with God. He got up out of that grave and made a man like me whole. All my songs you've ever taught and all you've ever preached and all you've ever lived for, you're amazing. And if somebody asks Jake, how long you been knowing Twyman? A very long time. I'm not going to try to figure out the years, Twyman. A very long time. How long has he been a great man? A very long time. How long has he been a teacher? A very long time. How long has he been genuine? A very long time. How long has he been your friend? A very long time. Yes,
sir. It's that idiom that defines your ministry for me. It's not the 40 years. Because I wasn't there for the 40. It's not the 40 years that impresses me. It's the trial. The journey and the triumphs that brought you to where you are now. There is no greater miracle in biblical history than you. You're as big a miracle as anything in the Bible. Because God took an imperfect man who was willing to walk by faith and go places where circumstances said you had no business. But because you trusted God, the very first time I heard you preach, I said to myself, that's the kind of detail I'm going to represent. That because you lived, I'm a better man. But because Jesus died, I'm better off. Because you lived, this world is a better place. But because he died, my eternity is safe. Because you lived, I'm a gift to others through the goodness of God. But because he died, I've been gifted with eternal life. I just want to say to you, my friend, if somebody come to you and say, you know, we asked Jake about your ministry and your relationship with him, and he said one of the strangest things. He said, I love me some Twyman. His ministry is about 40 days and 40 nights. And they're going to say, that's stupid. He was pastoring 40 years. See, it doesn't matter how long you did it if you didn't do it right. My friend, Jake ain't just celebrating your 40 years. I'm celebrating your trial, the journey, and your triumph. Love you, man.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.